Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast down the rabbit holes in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of your application.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. I haven't had any time to even plug in the person's name. That's how fast we're jumping into this, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, plugging it in is not going to freaking matter because there's not a whole lot out there.
That's the story these days.
There's not even a Charlie Project page.
You took a risk. Usually I get very scared to do that.
Well, it happened in the last year, so I'm less concerned. But here's the thing, guys. We, like you, have been fascinated with this Gabby Petito case, right? We are following it. We are texting. We are sending each other TikToks about it.
Because Dog the Bounty Hunter is involved?
Yeah. I mean, we are recording just so I can, timestamp this. It is, what, September 30th? So you'll hear this later. But either way, we too have been wrapped up. But it is not lost on us that Gabby is young, beautiful, female, and white. And sure, she already had a YouTube following, and sure, she had TikToks and all of those things, but that doesn't mean that anyone else's life is worth less.
And it doesn't mean hers is either. It's that...
Right. Oh, no.
Right. They're all very important and deserve all the media coverage possible.
Absolutely. And Amy last week covered a minority case. So we were going to record a couple days ago, and I pulled out my calendar to write something down, and I realized that Monday, October 11th is actually Indigenous Peoples Day, which I didn't know existed, which is bad on me. But it's to celebrate, American history and to acknowledge that we're honoring Native Americans, right? So I texted Amy and said, we can't record today. I need to choose a different case. And I want to cover Native American because we're dropping this episode on Indigenous Peoples Day.
It's a really good reminder for me, too, as always, that is more reason to make sure that we are not just honing in on these cases in the media, which notoriously cover young white females and then white males as well.
Yeah. So today, and so here we go with my little disclaimer. I will say there is some investigation. I don't like that I'm going to have to refer to them as friend one, friend two, and friend three, because their names aren't even out there.
How did you even find this, Melissa?
I literally Googled missing Native Americans. And this case, some of the media has compared it to Gabby.
Hmm?
Because of the lack of coverage versus the coverage. So I read a couple articles and said, well, I'm in.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Let's do it. And we normally don't cover cases that are this recent because things can happen and developments, but it is what it is. So today we're going to talk about Mary Johnson Davis. Mary is a member of the Tulalip tribe, and I literally listened to something that coached me through it, so if I said it wrong, I apologize. The population of the tribe is about 5,000, but more than half the people live on the 22-acre Tulalip Reservation, which is in Washington State. Yeah. Okay, just a little about the tribe. Mira was born in 1980. She was the middle sister of three. She had an older sister, Nana, and a little sister, Jerry. They all grew up in foster care. Doesn't sound like it was a negative experience. I mean, as positive as foster care can be. They were super close. According to Nona, she's spunky, she's lovable, and she's a jokester. She's a good person to be around, and she made you laugh when you're sad. Jerry said she'll give you the shirt off your back if you needed it. And that's really all we have about early life. So, summer of 2020. So, she is 40 years old. Mary and her husband are actually living with her sister, Jerry. And abruptly, like one day, they decided we're moving 40 miles away to Marysville.
Wow, that's it. Okay.
So they packed up. And after the move, Jerry said that Mary became more and more distant. She really didn't answer the phone a lot. She only occasionally responded to texts. So the following sequence of events are based on the investigation, based on cell phone records and conversations of people who saw her. November 24th, 2020. Mary's husband dropped her off along with a suitcase at a friend's house on the reservation. Now, they were not getting along, Mary had told her friends. She actually was worried that her husband would pack up and move to California with all of her stuff.
Hmm. Okay.
But it didn't sound like it was volatile. It just sounded like they weren't working out.
Nothing really unusual about that.
Right. Now, I apologize in advance. You might want to write this down. Man number one. There's a man that lives in a house on File Trail Drive. And he drove her to the tribal court to get legal advice. She spoke to a security guard there in the lobby, but no one was available to talk to her. There were no appointments that day. So Mary stays at this man's house, man number one, with plans to leave the next morning to go to a couple's house she knows about 30 miles away in Oso. The man she's staying with was supposed to give her a ride to a nearby church the next morning. And her friend would pick her up, or someone would pick her up and take her to couple's house in Oso.
Yeah.
Okay, are you with me? So she stays at man number one's house. Friend number one is supposed to give her a ride to couple's house 30 miles away.
I'm following.
Another man number two, also stayed at the house that night, and he wanted a ride.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next morning, November 25th, 2020, house owner, man number one, decides he's not giving anyone a ride.
Okay.
So Mary left the house around 1:30 p.m. to walk to the church. And the other man that was staying there, man number two, was walking with her. Friend that's supposed to pick up Mary at the church and drive her to couple's house. Drove by and saw her walking on Fire Trail Road with the man that left the house with her, not the man that owned the house. The driving friend told Mary that he only had enough room for one person in his car. And apparently, he left without giving anyone a ride.
Oh.
After he drove away, he texted Mary and said there was too much stuff in his car to fit her stuff, and the other guy. I don't know how the other guy turned into part of this, but this is what police have pieced together. A little later, she texted him back saying she was almost to the church. Mm-hmm. This is at 1:52 p.m. It sounds like by the text at 1:52, I'm almost to the church, that she thought he was going to come back for just her.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my guess. Like, he said, I can't fit everyone, right? And then she texts him saying, I'm almost to the church. So part of me wonders if, okay, that's fine. He didn't want to pick up both of them, but now she's almost to the church herself.
Reasonable enough.
In the month before her disappearance, Mary and this friend had been texting every day.
Yeah.
So he's a good friend. So between 1:30 and 2:30, Mary made two additional phone calls. One that left the voicemail for the couple that she was trying to go to their house, begging them to pick up the phone. She sounded desperate. Now, another call she made at 2:30, and a woman, a friend she called, picked up and told Mary that she was too busy to talk right now. And hung up, basically. It was like, hey, I'm at work, I'll call you back later, whatever, whatever. Totally a normal midday.
Yeah, but I usually at least hear the person to make sure it's not an emergency. And I'm sorry, I'm not shaming. I'm just thinking about
what I thought.
I don't know. Not fair for me to do. Sorry.
I agree. So about an hour later, Mary's cell phone connected to a cell phone tower in Oso, which is where she was supposed to be going. Now, Mary does not have a driver's license or a vehicle. And Fire Trail Road to Oso is about 25 miles. So just so you know, that was the call was at 2:30. The connection happened about 4:30. So we know Mary didn't walk 25 miles in 2 hours. Right. And people running marathons are like 3 hours. But either way. Later that evening, around 8:45, 9 p.m., her phone connected to a tower in Marysville, which is where she had moved to. And it was there connected to pinging off the same towers till the next morning when it was powered off and never powered back on. Now, are you ready for a shock? She never arrived to the couple's house she was supposed to be going to.
As I'd suspect.
Right. She actually was reported missing on December 9th, 2020, by her husband. When he went to the police, he said, yeah, we're not in a good place. She was staying at friends. She'd only come home every couple days to get her mail and take a shower and, like, get stuff. But just because we weren't together, like, we talked every couple days. He had tried to reach out to her. He was most concerned because she wasn't picking up her monthly welfare checks.
Which she needs to survive.
Right. She normally would pick them up the day they come in. And the quote by the tribal police department is the fact that she left many thousands of dollars in tribal welfare checks uncashed is an indicator that she may be held against her will or deceased.
I'd think that too.
Right? So it sounds as if, from my perspective, and this case is a lot of speculation, that police do not look at her husband because he seems to be the one that's, like, actively trying to find her.
Yeah, he was cooperative enough, and he's easy access to talk to. So as soon as if he were to, like, start being uncooperative, they'd probably be like, okay, what have you got going on? Now you're a person of interest.
Exactly. So police go to the person that was supposed to pick her up at the church. And he said, I haven't seen her after I drove past her.
Right.
That day. The man who had been walking with her says, oh, well, I stopped at a friend's house and she kept walking and I've never seen her again.
And
either.
I assume that they confirmed that with this friend?
You can assume. Huh. There's nothing in the media about that.
I would think they would have just asked, and if he hadn't, then they would be like, okay, now we have some questions.
No. So, it's been 10 months since she went missing. That's all we have for information. And I'm going to read you a direct quote from an article, because it's that frustrating. Because a body hasn't been recovered, the detective said it's difficult to establish probable cause to seek search warrants. Because her disappearance was reported weeks after the fact, which, dude, it's like 10 days, but okay. Surveillance footage or precise location information that could offer clues has likely been overwritten. Because they don't know if she disappeared on or off the reservation, it's not clear if they can leverage federal grand jury subpoena powers or they have to go through the tribal courts. Now, this is a direct quote from the detective. We don't know if she was kidnapped, held against the will. If she had been murdered, it could be argued that she wandered into the woods and got lost. Maybe she overdosed and passed away somewhere in a remote area and we don't know where she's at. Maybe she's hiding. Maybe she left her...
Whoa. Is there any speculation she uses drugs?
Hold on. Maybe she's hiding. Maybe she's in treatment. There's a lot of maybes. That's the whole quote. I have read nothing from her family saying that she uses
drugs. That's not fair because I don't think that they throw that stuff out there unless there's a clear history of it. If it was anybody else in the media, that's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I would agree with you. It's frustrating because I want to be like, okay, dude, you laid out every missing person theory we discuss, right? Is she kidnapped and held against her will? Is she murdered? Is she wandered off into the woods and lost? Is she passed away somewhere in a remote area? Is she hiding? Is she in treatment somewhere? Like, very good. You rattled off what we rattle off in 100 episodes.
Yeah, and we do not do that as a career.
Right. So that's the end. That's all the coverage. It's 1-2 pages.
I feel like he's laid out all of these things, like these potential obstacles or unanswered questions. And then he's just kind of like, I don't know. You guys tell me. What should I do?
That's what's so frustrating. And there's a lot out there about Indigenous women being missing and how it is a crisis. And, you know, an FBI spokesperson said it will take time for leads to come in. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, can we get them?
Can we take one of them and just explore it?
Right. So I'm going to read you a quote about from the Department of Interior Secretary Deb Haaland. Violence against Indigenous people is a crisis that has been underfunded for decades. Far too often, murders and missing persons in Indian country go unsolved and unaddressed, leaving families and communities devastated. Well, right. Agreed. And a lot of the articles talk about how it's difficult because, like I said earlier, if we don't know if she went missing on the reservation or off the reservation, I'm going to read you another quote. And Indigenous families with missing women or girls say their cases are also often disregarded due to legal hurdles, including layers of jurisdiction on tribal lands versus
so
United
why
States
can't
law.
We go off the assumption that she didn't go missing on tribal land and see where it takes us?
Well, they are. I mean, the FBI is involved now. They're the ones offering a reward, but the detective we're talking about, Detective Sally, is a tribal investigator. So I don't know.
So with all that speculation, do you have a particular theory?
Okay, so yes and no. Let me go back to his theories. Let's just break those down, okay? I'm going to rule out overdose and in treatment because there's nothing else I've read about her using. Now, if it comes out later that she was an addict, sure, we can revisit those things, but there's nothing about it. Are you comfortable with that?
I think that's the only fair and just thing to do.
Okay. So let's talk about leaving her life. I think that she was trying to leave her life. Not in a disappear off the grid from everyone way, but divorce her husband and move on.
Yes.
However that looked. I think that's why it's clear. That's why she was going to her friends, the couple's house in Ono, right?
And it doesn't even sound like a secret. This is something that was talked about, was known.
Right. So I think that that's where I start. I also am willing to say, without the shadow of a doubt, she was picked up by someone, right? Because like we said, she didn't walk 25 miles in 2 hours. If she did, she should run every marathon in the world and collect prize money.
Yes. My only thought about that is, what if she had a cell phone in her bag and whoever did something to her went to the place that she was supposed to be, realized, oh man, I have this phone and I didn't even know, found it, switched it off, and then disposed of it.
Okay, so let's break that down.
Right.
Someone picks her up. She ends up in the town 25 mm-hmm. miles away that she was supposed to go to. Then her phone, mm-hmm. or her, we don't know, travels back to where she lived. Maybe not her mm-hmm. house, but the same town. Right?
Which I forgot about, so whoops.
And shuts off and is never used again.
All right, that kind of debunks that a little bit. Makes my theory sound a little ridiculous.
In my opinion, also, law enforcement has not said anyone is or isn't a person of interest. The only reason I pause about the husband is the house, the phone ends up back by wherever they lived, right? Here's the thing, though. I don't think he would have called the police and sent them off on a wild goose chase for her. He didn't try to cash the checks himself. He didn't try to do anything suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, in my opinion, that he's involved. Now, let's talk about all the people we encounter on the way. Man's house she stays at. Okay, he's being helpful and offers her a ride and says, no, I'm not going to drive you?
I mean, that could be for any sort of reason. I've heard things like that held over people's heads.
Okay. Man that she is walking with that just peeled off and went to friend's house.
Think of it this way. What if this guy's like, yeah, you can stay with me under the guise of he hopes he's going to have sex with her. And then she refuses him. And he's like, well, F you. Like, you're on your own. Bye. That would be a reason why you'd withdraw a ride.
It's totally possible. So then what about the other guy that's there?
Well, what about him?
So he just leaves with her to walk?
Perhaps. Perhaps he's like, hey, dude, that's messed up. I'll walk with you. Like, I wouldn't want you to walk alone.
Okay, and then he peels off and goes to his friend's house. And she keeps walking. Okay. And she texts the friend and says, hey, I'm almost to the church. Almost like she expects him to come back. Now, I want to point out that multiple sources report they talked every day. I don't know what they're trying to, like, allude to with that.
Neither do I, but I have some guesses.
But if they're trying to allude to something that they're close, why did he just leave her walking on the side of the road with another guy?
The only guess that comes to my head is he's mad or jealous.
And then does he come back and take her somewhere and hurt her?
I can at least see the reason for that. You rejected me. The hell with you. Maybe they fight. Maybe he hurts her.
Are you talking about friend getting a ride or guy of the house?
If I forgot. You are right. The names thing really screws me up.
Friend giving her a ride she talked to every day.
That friend is the friend that originally declined the ride, or the guy at the house?
No, so guy at the house was supposed to drive her
and
to the church.
And he withdrew that request.
Yes, so she walked to the church to meet friend with a car to drive her to, oh no. Friend with a car pulls up, she's walking with the other guy, and he's like, I'm not driving both of you, and leaves. So I kind of see the fact that, like, then she texts him and says, okay, well, I'm at the church now. He comes back, and he's like, who's that guy?
Well, if I was her, I'd walk back to where I came from.
Okay, so her phone went to...
Like, now I'm... Guy the house refuses to give me a ride. That sucks. So I'm going to start walking, contact my friend. My friends, let him know where I am. They're going to pick me up. That friend says, nope, and then leaves her. So if I'm... SOL, I'm going to walk back to where I came from and try and convince that person that rejected me for the ride, hey, I'm really in a jam. I've tried. Can you just suck it up and please, like, I'll pay you or whatever to give me a ride to X.
Right, but she didn't, and she ended up in the place she was trying to go after the church. Or her phone did.
I think her phone did, only because I can't explain
that. So where is she?
I would assume harm came to her.
So her phone was with her. She gets to the church. And then someone takes her phone, drives to the place she was going to go, drives to her house without her?
No, probably not.
Right. Like, I think that she got in the car. She didn't use her phone because she was chatting with whoever was driving.
Yep. Then what?
I don't know. Like, maybe he was jealous of the guy. So they fight in the car. They get to her friend's house in Ono, and he's like, I'm not dropping you off. They go back to her house maybe to get something, and something happens. I don't know.
No, that does make a little bit more sense than my theory.
Like, if he was jealous, let's say they're texting every day for a month because they're like, and this is total speculation, kindling some sort of relationship.
Flirting, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, and he goes to pick her up, and she's with another guy. Even though she doesn't really know him, he doesn't know that. And he's like, well, I'm not taking both of you, and drives off angry. She texts him, and she's like, no, I'm at the church. whatever. So he circles back, he picks her up. They argue about this guy, right? They get to her friend's house, and they're arguing. So they decide, screw it, let's go back to her house to pick up whatever's thing you pick up or whatever. Along the way, something happens. So he powers her phone down, and then that's it.
I don't know.
I don't either. But I feel like this detective, let me read you the quote again. We don't know if she was kidnapped, held against her will, if she had been murdered. It could be argued maybe she wandered off in the woods and got lost. Maybe she overdosed and passed away somewhere in a remote area and we don't know where she's at. Maybe she's just hiding. Maybe she's in treatment. There's a lot of maybes.
Why don't you just say you have no effing idea?
Right? Like, hey, this girl's missing. We pinged her cell phone and this is what her cell phone did and that's about all we have.
Do they, what about dogs? Did they even try with dogs?
I don't know. It doesn't say it. There's not a whole lot out there. There's like, her family has done as much as they can, and I gotta give all the credit to her family in the world. Like, they're the ones keeping the story alive.
Because I would go to the last place that we knew she was and break out the dogs.
But if she got in a car, they're gonna immediately lose scent.
Try.
Well, I'm with you. But, like, let's say we both just said we think she got in a car at the church because her phone, then she went 25 miles in 2 hours. They're going to, if that's true, they're going to immediately.
Then take the dogs to the last place you pinged her phone.
But phone pings aren't like a 1 foot radius. They're like a 5 mile radius.
In 2020, we know exactly where phones are. Find your iPhone. Things like that.
Yeah. If you have their Apple ID. Or if we have her Gmail account, like in To Live and Die in L.A. And if you guys haven't listened to that season one, it's fabulous. But neither here nor there.
I mean, there's got to be a way. In 2020, with the technology we have to track each other, some police IT person can't hack into a phone and figure it out?
I'm throwing it to the Google. Okay, so according to using cell tower triangulation, it's possible to determine a phone within an area of about a square mile. If there are three towers.
That was unhelpful for me.
I mean, Amy, I'm going to quote you in this episode. Like, in conclusion, I don't know. You know, it's just so frustrating because the detective is, like, I literally want to be like, did you listen to our podcast and say, like, okay, what do you run through? We have a missing persons case. And there's your list.
Instead of telling me what he is trying, I want to tell me how he tried something and it didn't work out. Like, tell me how you...
All that I know they have is cell phone pings. They are able to track her phone.
Like, I want him to say, oh, dogs? This is why I didn't use dogs. Oh, find my iPhone? This is why I didn't use find my iPhone. Let's just cross things off the list, sir.
And, like, I get it, right? You can't get warrants. Okay, fine. But are you not... And I don't know the answer to this question. But if you're trying to find someone, can you not ping the cell phones that were in the same area as her?
That's true, too.
If the friend that she texted and said, hey, I'm almost at the church, can you not see where his cell phone went? Did it go to Ono and then out to Maryville? If it didn't, then okay, then he probably wasn't with her. If it did...
And you can still continue to invite these people in and question them. And of course, when they want to leave, they leave because they're not under arrest. They're not being detained.
Well, that's the thing. I think they don't know who's allowed to question them because...
Ah!
Right. It's were they on tribal grounds or not?
I need clarification on that because...
What do you need clarification on? I can't give it to you because, you know.
I know. What about private investigators?
I mean,
do they have different rights to be able to go back and forth between the two tribal lands?
I don't think so. I've listened to a really good podcast, and unfortunately I forget the name of it because I listen to a ton of true crime podcasts, about trying to solve a missing persons case on tribal land. And a friend or a family member just kept calling people and recording all the calls and giving them to law enforcement because law enforcement had no jurisdiction.
That's clever.
Right, but that means you, like, you have to be willing to, like, really put yourself out there.
So why can't that be for a private investigator hired by a family?
I don't know if they're allowed to do that on tribal grounds. I don't know. And I think that's the big hiccup. Like, where do the lines get drawn? But I feel like, why wouldn't tribal investigators welcome in? In this situation, the FBI is involved, right? So I have to assume tribal investigators welcomed them in 10 months later, but... hey, whatever. 10 months later is 10 months later. I'll take it.
I don't know, but I mean, I'd be curious to know the reasons because they have to be good ones. I'm sure they are.
What do you mean?
The reasons why they wouldn't welcome that in.
Your guess is as good as mine, Amy.
I don't know. I feel like this episode is different because I'm oscillating between the what happened to her and the... certain laws around how to proceed with the case, and also feeling like I need to challenge, for lack of better words, investigation tactics, because, you know, just like anybody else, we fear that the Indigenous persons aren't getting good, proper investigations and media coverage.
It's the most frustrating thing in the whole world.
Yeah, this is multi-layered, and I anticipate a discussion that's going to be from a lot of different angles on social media.
I agree. And, you know, as much as we usually say, like, we are pro-law enforcement, and we are. Like, we support law enforcement, and we don't make any qualms about that. However, we're also willing to say when they're not doing enough. And listing off every theory that we talk about every week in our podcast is not enough.
I agree, because you gave every possibility besides, like, a shark attack.
Right, like, at least... no, he didn't give die by suicide.
Fascinating.
But, like, at least say, okay, so, you know, this is what could have happened, but we're comfortable saying we don't believe it's X, at least. But, yes, he gave everything but shark attack. Well, no kidding. They live in Washington State in the middle of the land.
Right. My point exactly.
You don't get to just say... that's like if... if my house is broken into, I could be like, well, it could be a neighbor. It could be someone that knew me. It could be someone that didn't know me. It could be someone looking for money. It could be someone looking for something. No kidding.
Thank you for stating the obvious.
Yeah. And again, like, I'm glad I did this, but it's so frustrating for me, too, because, like, I want more information. And the more I Google, I'm like, it's the same information. Thank you.
This is one case that I definitely hope that, because it's so recent, and we know that it's harder to solve a crime when time goes by, that I hope you can give an update episode really soon.
Me too. Because there's literally a show called The First 48. The first 48 hours are crucial. And no one reported her missing. And that's my thing. Like, did your friends that you were supposed to go to, if she didn't show up there, they didn't reach out? Her friend that she was texting every day for a month. They clearly stopped texting, and you were just like, oh, well?
Unless they got in a fight. Anyway, so I definitely expect that our conversations are going to go in more of like a criminal justice handling of particular crimes or crimes that involve Indigenous persons, but also the typical theorizing that we usually do about a case. And I welcome them all. And I have a lot to learn.
Yeah, me too. And if you have any other suggestions for, you know, biopic or Indigenous women or anything like that you'd like us to cover, please let us know. Like, we are forced to cover cases that have some sort of coverage, right? Like, some sort of media. And the biggest challenge we have is finding cases. We will dig in if you give us a name. We just don't know where to start. Aside from, like, clicking through random cases on the Charlie Project.
And that's exactly how I came across last week's case.
Yeah, me too. And I came across this one by Googling, how do I cover? And then this one got attention because her family spoke out that Gabby Petito's case got, like, blown up and they can't get one newspaper to cover their sister.
Oh, we've got such a long, long way to go. We do. But thank you guys for listening.
Yes, please tell us what you think. Social media, email. One thing I haven't said in a while, if you have case suggestions, please send them to theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com. I know that we've gotten a lot of DMs in social media, but it's really hard to track them all when they're all not in one place. And I want to make sure we're tracking all your requests. So please email them in.
All right, guys. We'll be back next week with an all new episode.
Yes, we will. Bye. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
The Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production
by Amy Lamar.